詩編78章1節から8節。
Psalm 78:1-8。
私の民よ、私の教えを耳に入れ、私の口の言葉に耳を傾けよ。私は口を開いて例え話を、昔からの謎を語ろう。それは私たちが聞いて知っていること、私たちの先祖が語ってくれたこと、それを私たちは息子たちに隠さず、後の時代に語り継げよう。主の誉れを、主が行われた力ある怪しい御業を。主はヤコブのうちに諭しを置き、イスラエルのうちに御教えを定め、私たちの先祖に命じて、その子らに教えるようにされた。後の世代の者、生まれてくる子らがこれを知り、さらに彼らがその子らにまた語り継げるため、彼らが神に信頼し、神の御業を忘れず、その命令を守るために、先祖たちのように強情で逆らう世代、心定まらぬ世代、霊が神に忠実でない世代とならないために。
O my people, listen to me, hear my instruction, soak up every word of what I am about to tell you. I will open my mouth in parables. I will speak of ancient mysteries, things that we have heard about, things that we have known, things which our ancestors declared to us again and again. We will not keep this thing secret from their children. Rather, we will tell the coming generation all about the praise that is due to the Lord, to the Eternal One. We will tell them all about His strength, power, and wonders. He gave His holy law to Jacob, His teaching to the people of Israel, which He instructed our fathers to pass down to their children, so that the coming generation would know them by heart, even the children who are not yet born, so that they might one day stand up and teach them to their children. Tell them to put their confidence and hope in God, and never forget the wondrous things He has done. They should obey His commandments always, and avoid following in the footsteps of their parents, a hard-headed and rebellious generation, a generation of uncultivated hearts, whose parents were unfaithful to God.
Hello, my brothers, sisters, and friends at New Good Church. Greetings to all of you. It's my honor to speak to you this morning. I met Joe Osborne and his team almost 20 years ago. Since then, we continue in this relationship and partnership. We did a few Cambodian trips and also Asian Mission forums together. That was where I came to know some of you, either in Cambodia or in Singapore. February this year, my family, six of us, spent a short holiday in Japan, and I managed to make a short trip to Mito and met up with Joe and Christine. We also visited with Hiro and Megumi, and also my friend Gaku and Nico. And over the years, I found out that there are many new young Christians, young age, and children added to the Mito Church. It's really wonderful. This is a multinational, a generational church. And Joe has asked me to speak on your team in September. Your kingdom come to all generations. So the title for this morning's message is how to actively pass the faith from generation to generation. I begin my reading from Psalms 78, verse 1 to 8. Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. And what will I do? We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. His decree, He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they will put their trust in God and could not forget His deeds and would keep His commandments. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. So we learn from these Psalms that each generation bears a responsibility to pass faith on to the next generation. That responsibility is shared by community of faith. It is a collective commitment we make as a family of believers to pass faith on from generation to generation. I would like us to consider how that transmission of faith takes place, both in the home and in the church. So I'll be speaking not just to fathers and mothers, but to grandfathers and grandmothers, and to aunties and uncles, and to brothers and sisters in Christ. I will give you an example from the New Testament in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. We see this faith is passed from Louis to Eunice and then to Timothy. Now, Timothy's father was not of the Jewish faith. He was a Greek, a pagan. And we can see that Timothy, when he was a baby, he did not follow the Israelite customs of circumcision. Now, this fact alone gave Louis every reason to distance herself from her daughter Eunice and her grandson Timothy. But had she done so, she could have no opportunity to show the faith she found in Jesus Christ, as well as the love that flows from being guided by the Spirit. And I wonder how Louis felt on the day her daughter chose to marry outside of the Jewish faith. Did she feel a failure? Could she have done a better job translating her love to God to her daughter? Or perhaps more powerfully live out the tenets of a Jewish faith? But we know that Louis did well. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15, "As for you," that's Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learn it." You learn it from Louise, the grandmother, and your mother Eunice, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. So in order to explain how this works, I've chosen a metaphor of a relay race in which runners will pass the baton from one to another on their way to a finish line. They win or lose as a team. And that's how it works for us as well. As members of a family, we pass the baton of faith from one generation to the next and the next. I would like to offer three biblical principles this morning from this relay race metaphor. Firstly, those who run before set the pace for those who follow. Those who run before set the pace for those who follow. Each team as his own strategy. Usually they put the best runner to be in the first position or the last position. The idea, of course, was that the first guy could open up a big enough lead so that it could have a head start for the second runner. And if all went well, the second runner or position could hold on to some of that lead and pass on the third person. The first runner sets the pace for the rest of the runners, especially the second guy. A similar thing happens as spiritual values are passed from one generation to the next. Each one looks to the preceding generation to see how the race is run. And each generation brings to the one that follows either a head start or a handicap. Paul's letter to young Timothy: I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Louise, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Notice how the race began with a woman named Louise running the first leg. We don't know how she came to faith, but she ran a good race, and she passed the baton of faith on to her daughter, Eunice, who then handed it off to her son, Timothy. But notice that particular kind of faith that was passed on. Sincere faith. Not just religion, not cultural Christianity, but real faith, life-saving and life-changing faith. Like a runner in third position. So Louis was first position, Eunice was second position, and Timothy in a third position. Timothy watched his predecessors run the race and learn what real faith looks like. So what kind of faith, a pace, are you setting for the children who are watching you? Is the quality of the faith giving them a head start or a handicap? Make no mistake about it. Children are watching you. Whether you are parents or not, children in this church or children in the neighborhood and children in your extended family are watching to see how you work, how you worship, how you treat people, how you spend your time and money. Do you know what they're looking for? Authenticity. They're not looking for perfection. They know that you're humans. They know that you make mistakes. What they're looking for is a faith that is sincere, that is real and personal to you. Survey after survey reveals that this is what children and young people are looking for in the churches: authenticity. Do you really love each other when you come together, not just coming together? Do you really worship, not just singing songs? Do you really want to know God and follow Him every day? The style of worship music is not nearly as important as the fact that the people around them are singing the songs like they really believe them. The hipness of the teachers and leaders is not as important as their humble, honest, caring spirit. They want to see the real thing. Remember, values are caught, not taught. Children and young people look to all the adults in their lives to set the pace for them. And you could be one of those role models, the children and young people in your family or in your church. You can show them how the race is run. You can give them a head start on their spiritual journey simply by taking an interest in them, sharing some of your time and energy with them, and by living a vibrant faith in front of them. You know, kids need to see and to hear real faith in their parents, in the lives of other significant adults, because those who run before set the pace for those who follow. Now, secondly, a successful handoff is critical and is a result of 1,000 practice runs. In a 4x100 relay race, there is a 20-yard exchange zone. A complete handoff to the next runner must be made within this exchange zone. As important as it is for the previous generation to set the pace by living authentically, at a certain point, a handoff must be made in which the next generation receive the baton of faith and begin to run with it. That handoff isn't as easy as it looks. It isn't automatic. It's a result of thousands and thousands of practice runs. That's what the Lord's call for in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 9, where we read, "These commandments I give to you today to be in your heart. They are to be in your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." These verses remind us that this teaching happens formally and informally at home and at church. Some of it takes place when you intentionally sit down with children and teens and look at God's Word together. And some of it takes place as you walk through life, responding to situation and talking over challenges and difficulties. You can't rush this process. It can go on for years and years. Sometimes it's the result of 1,000 prayers, 1,000 questions by them about God, about faith, heaven, and the Bible, and 1,000 trips back and forth to church activities. But don't underestimate the impact you can have on the children and the young people around you, in your extended family, in your neighborhood, in your church. By your authentic faith and personal involvement, you are helping to prepare the child for the day they need to take hold of that baton for themselves. So those who run before set the pace for those to follow. Secondly, a successful handoff is critical. Thirdly, once the handoff has been made, keep cheering. Can you imagine a relay race in which the first runner makes the handoff, watches his teammates, takes off running, and then picks up his sweat and heads into the locker room without watching to the end of the race? I don't think so. He's going to watch and cheer and channel every bit of psychic energy he can to speed his teammates along. The race isn't over after the baton is passed. There is still important work to be done. So it is in the race, in the relay race of faith. You can set a pace for children by the way you run, giving them a good head start. You practice the handoffs for years as you jog through childhood and adolescence, and when the exchange is near, you are not done. You need to keep cheering. Now, what do I mean by keep cheering? I think I'm thinking of the things described by Paul in his letter to the believers in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For you know that we dwelt with each of you as a father dealing with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. They say that you never stop being a parent, that no matter how old your children get, they continue to look to you for love and support, and you continue to serve them and agonize over their challenges and choices in life. The same is true spiritually. You need to continue to be there spiritually for the children and the young people God places in your life, even after they have grown and are running their own race. Now, I would like to speak for a minute to those of you whose children are already grown. Maybe there has been a successful passing of the baton, maybe not. I want you to understand that the race isn't over. The nice things about this event is that there's no limited exchange zone. It can happen quickly or over many years in childhood or adulthood. And even the baton is dropped, it can always be picked up again. So you want to continue to be there for your children, for the young people you have influenced while they were young. Granted, your influence is limited, but you are still able to talk about your faith with them, to invite them to worship and grow, to pray for them, and to show them how the race is run. My advice is keep the door open, just like Louis. Don't shut that person out of your life because you're not happy with the choices they have made. Continue to love them, enjoy them, include them, pray for them, and don't beat yourself up for the things that you could have or should have done. Now, in the end, every runner runs her own race. You can't choose for them. There are no formulas or guarantees. So, firstly, those who run before set the pace for those who follow. Secondly, a successful handoff is critical and is a result of 1,000 practice runs. And thirdly, the handoff has made me keep cheering. In closing, I want to offer you a challenge. What's the challenge? One for Jesus. Can you bring one person to Christ if you have 10 years to do that? Bring one person to Christ in 10 years. What could happen if this were to be a reality? It would mean that in 10 years, the Christian population at Middle Church could be doubled. The Lord bless you in the hearing of His word, and God bless your ministry at Middle. Thank you for listening to the message.